Hey, you're listening to the Denim and Boots podcast. This is Robin Meijering from Robin Denim.
Welcome to the Denim and Boots podcast, the show for blue bloods and denim heads. On this podcast, we talk to makers, retailers, and influencers about recent and relevant topics in the world of raw denim, boots, and heritage-style menswear. My name is Thomas, aka Denim Hunters, and I'll be your host of this episode where we go behind the scenes of the denim industry. I'm joined by Robin from Robin Denim to talk about Instagram and influencing. This podcast is brought to you by Denim Hunters, the platform I started as a blog in 2011 that has become a voice for the denim industry and community. Today, Denim Hunters is a consultancy platform driven by a team of independent and multidisciplinary pioneers specializing in business development and communication in the global denim industry. We direct denim business through insights, creativity, and action, and we can help you take your business to the next level. Visit denimhunters.com and click the Work With Us button at the top right-hand corner to get in touch. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the podcast. You can also leave us a rating and a review to help us get in front of more blue bloods and denim heads just like yourself. Thank you. And now, before we get to the interview with Robin, it's time for the Denim FAQ. So the topic of this episode is Instagram and influencing. And the FAQ I'm going to answer, or at least try to answer, is how to take better photos for Instagram. So I'm going to give you three tips. And the first one is that light is super important. So personally, I get the best results if I shoot outside in indirect sunlight. But you can also shoot inside. Just be aware of the light. Direct sunlight can give problems, so try to avoid it if you can. So an overcast day usually gives you the best light. Now, tip number two is that you need to think about the background in your image and how it reflects your style and what you and how you want to come across. So think about if it should be something clean and simple, or if it should be more rugged, more heritage, for instance. Now, talking about background, if you take your pictures on your own, consider using a tripod for your half or full body pictures, or any pictures actually. You know, having a tripod makes them more steady, so consider that. Personally, I use a selfie stick that doubles as a tripod and has a remote shutter via Bluetooth. So I use that to take the photos where you see my jeans or where you see my full body without the help of any others. Simply just place your phone on it, put it down, make sure it doesn't tumble over because your phone might break. And then you have this shutter in your hand and you can take the photos. Super simple. And talking about background, you should also consider that making it blurred, so using bokeh, I guess is the technical term, so making the subject in focus and the background blurred will help bring your subject, and that could be your jeans or yourself, in more focus in general. And the third tip is don't go crazy with editing. And that means don't do too much contrast and definition, although it might be tempting. And I've done this myself, I can tell you. What you should do, though, is make sure that the color tones are not too cold or too warm. This is quite important, so try to match the original color of the denim. That will give you the best results. And for editing, I use my iPhone's native photo app, which actually they updated recently and it's become a lot better. But you also have, of course, Instagram's built-in editing tools that are quite brilliant, I think, for editing photos on your phone for Instagram. So those were the three tips. So those were the three tips. Number one, light is super important. Number two, think about the background. And number three, don't go crazy with the editing. Now, if you want to learn more about how to take better photos of your denim and to have better photos for... If you want to learn more about how to take better photos of your denim and jeans, Brian from the Indigo Invitational wrote a super in-depth post about this, which we published on Denim Hunters last year. And I'll link to that in the show notes. And of course, then Robin and I, we will also talk more about this in depth in the interview. Now, speaking of which, here is the interview with Robin from Robin Denim. Enjoy. So, Robin, super excited to have you here on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
So this is your first appearance on a podcast, but you also just told me that you never ever listened to a podcast.
Yes, that's correct.
I think you may be one of the few people left in the world. No, I don't know.
No, I think so, because a lot of my friends are listening to podcasts frequently, and I never did. So I might be the first person you.
Yeah. Well, then we might get you started here. So, but again, thank you so much for coming onto the show. I've been looking very much forward to this. And we are going to talk about a bit about your story first. So who is Robin and how you got into denim and into Instagram. And then I want to ask you a bit about, you know, what it is like to actually be doing what you're doing. I mean, with the having such a huge following on Instagram and how you actually turning that into a business as well. So, but first of all, let's just get started with some easy questions. So,
That's Robin, a good start.
Right. So, Robin, where do you live?
I live in Ede. It's a small city. It's in between Utrecht and Arnhem, close to Germany. And it's in the center.
And we're in the Netherlands here.
Yeah.
In Europe, right. But, but your roots, because, I mean, people... So anyone who's following you have seen your picture by now. I mean, in the beginning, there was no pictures of you, but for a couple of years, there's been pictures of you. But your background is a little, you're not originally, what's it like? Because you don't look typically Dutch, right?
Well, that's a fair question. People are asking me frequently. So I'm born and raised in the Netherlands, but my mother was born in Indonesia, in Surabaya on the Java Island. But she was adopted when she was a kid, when she was 2.5, if I'm right. And then she was raised very Dutch. So I might look a bit Asian, but I'm raised completely Dutch, unfortunately.
I think a lot of people think that's a good thing. I mean, so, but anyway.
It's a good thing, but I always feel very connected to Indonesia.
Yeah, because you've also been going there recently for denim. So
true, yeah.
But we can, yeah. But let's go back, because when did you get into this whole denim thing? I mean, when did it start with your passion and all of this?
I think it started over 10 years ago already. And it started when a friend of mine bought a very expensive pair of jeans at Tenue de Nîmes. Well, in my opinion, back then it was very expensive, and he showed me the jeans and I tried it on and I was like, why do you pay like 200 euros for a pair of jeans that is not comfortable at all? So he convinced me to go to Tenue de Nîmes with him, and I tried a few pairs, and after he was pushing me, I bought a pair of Rogue Territories, and he said you just need to wear it every day. So I listened to him because he was a good friend, and from there it all started.
Is he also on Instagram now, or
he used to be? He quit Instagram because he is on Instagram, but as an artist, not not with fates and stuff.
So your first pair of jeans, I mean, raw denim jeans. That was Rogue Territory. Do you remember your very first pair of jeans? I mean, because I guess you were wearing them before that as well.
Yeah, I think I was wearing it since I was 3 or 4, but I guess it was a shitty brand.
No.
Yeah, in Holland, so, it's very normal, and I think it's all over the world that you start wearing jeans from the moment you can walk.
Exactly. Yeah. But so around 10 years ago, you bought those jeans and you thought they were really expensive and uncomfortable. Yeah. And you were then breaking them in, not washing them and all of that. So were you sort of hooked from the beginning, or did it what happened from there?
Yeah, I started to wear it, I think, in May. So it was pretty hot back then. So the first weeks were like hell because it was not comfortable. It was too hot. I was sweating all day. But yeah, my friend was pushing. So I continued wearing it. And mm-hmm. after, I think, 3 weeks, the jeans became more comfortable. And I saw the first little fade. And from then I was hooked. Exactly. And I actually wore that pair for 18 months straight before I washed it. So it's...
Wow.
Yeah, the smell was terrible.
And didn't it also, I mean, did it break? Was there a crotch blowout and all of that? Or no. What happened?
No, I actually never had a crotch blowout in my life. And you I must think have it's
perfect because, build.
Yeah, and I'm the only Dutch guy who isn't cycling ever. So maybe that's also a thing.
Right. Interesting. So was that also, so when did the whole Instagram thing start for you?
I think that started 3 or 4 years later after I bought my first pair. And it was because I was working as a social worker. I was working with young people. We needed to bring them back on track. And the job was heavy, but sometimes it was kind of boring because everything was okay. So I had time for myself and I started on Instagram. Started to follow people who were inspiring me. Yeah, from there it started.
So you were, and is that the job you still do today mainly or no?
No.
But you were doing it until a couple of years ago, social work. I mean, you would look after disabled people, help them out. That's what you did?
Yeah, I quit that. I quit like 3 or 4 years ago, I guess, but until last year, I was working with refugees in Holland, which was really, really inspiring job.
Mm-hmm. But it started then when you had some spare time, basically, to kill, and you were on Instagram like a lot of other people.
I started pretty late because most of my friends already had Instagram, and I was like, I have Facebook. Why should I go to Instagram?
Exactly. Yeah. For the longest time, I mean, you were the one, I guess, who convinced me to get on Instagram 3 years ago, something like that. Until then, it was like, I don't like all these pictures.
So stupid.
So stupid when you look back. You could have had,
because on Facebook, people were sharing stories you actually didn't want to read, but you did because it was on Facebook. But I liked that more than just posting a photo in the beginning.
But now it's different. I guess.
Changed.
So we can and we'll talk more about how you do your Instagram and how you got to where you are today and where you're gonna go from here as well. But I just want to go back a little and talk about your passion for denim. So if you were to sort of pick three garments. Or accessories that you have and wear, that are your favorites, what would they be?
Of course, a pair of jeans. And I'm thinking of a slim or tapered fit.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese denim, and I think in between 14 and 16 ounce, because you can wear it all year long.
Mm-hmm.
A chambray shirt, because I'm always wearing a chambray shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And
let me guess, indigo dyed Converse.
Yeah, that was the one I was about to say. I was struggling. Should I say Converse or should I say boots? But I think I can wear Converse every time, every day. So let's go for the Converse. Yeah.
Nice. And you have those indigo dyed ones. Do you have more pairs of those?
Or? Yeah, I have several ones because. I always buy white pairs, but I'm not very good with white shoes. So after a few weeks, I need to throw them in the indigo because they look like shit.
And you do that at Blueprint or?
Yeah, true. That's where I'm freelancing as well. So it's easy.
Yeah. Nice. So your favorite jeans right now, what are they and why?
That's a tough question because I'm rotating now, actually. And one is the Momotaro 0306. It's my, I think it's my all-time favorite fit. It's, yeah, it's super slim. I think it's, you can wear everything on top of it and it always looks nice. And I also did a special project with Collect. So I developed my own pair of jeans. It's the perfect fit. So I'm rotating that.
Of course for you.
I think for me it's perfect.
Make your own jeans. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. Pretty cool.
Are they on sale now? Oh, can you buy those?
No. That was just for me.
I'm sure a lot of your followers would like to have a pair of Robin jeans from the collection. Yeah. Well, so in talking about jeans and things you like, what is your favorite detail or feature of jeans?
You are good in asking tough questions.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things to like, obviously. But I mean, so a lot of people will, of course, say the fades.
But for me, it's not really the fades, because when I buy a pair of jeans, I like them to be very rigid and very dark blue. Mm-hmm. And after several months, I really like the fades. But for example, after a year, for me, it's time to switch to a new pair, because I like, because after a year, it became like a pajamas. And then I like to wear a jean. So the early stage is what I'm also really enjoying.
All right. Okay.
So when talking about the specific part of the jean, I like hardware. It's not that it's the most important part, but I can really enjoy well-designed, high-quality hardware like buttons, rivets.
So, right. Yeah. Are you a buttonfly type of person?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or yeah,
no buttons. No zippers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I have a lot of jeans with zippers in my collection.
No, you don't. You don't see that a lot, right?
No.
So, which denim brand inspires you the most?
I think it's now it's Momotaro, and I think it's for the last few years, because I believe they're really strong in telling a story, which is a bit there's a little a mystery around it. It's Japanese, obviously, and they are the only brand who can design very flashy battle stripes on the back pockets, and everybody is okay with it. Because normally when brands try to redesign a classic pair of jeans, they add like a detail to it, and it's like, oh yeah, it's too much. And with Momotaro, it's really too much, but still it's fantastic.
And it looks good when it's faded as well, when it's worn in.
True, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So what about retailers? Any specific retailer that is your favorite that inspires you?
Yeah, it's Nudenim. It's I frequently visit the store. I really like the owners. They have a fantastic collection, carrying some really good denim brands as well, but also more fashion brands. And the combination they are carrying is reflecting in my wardrobe, I guess.
Right. So let's just, full disclosure, do you work with either Momotaro or Tenny Denim? I mean, I'm just curious.
Working?
Do you work with them as well?
Yeah, what's working?
Do they pay you money?
No. No, I work with them in a certain way, but it's because I really like the brand. So I want to be involved and I want to be connected. So when they drop something new and it fits me, sometimes we do a trade. So I post a few pics and they send me some stuff.
And that's being an influencer, I guess.
That's part of being an influencer. Yeah, true. Yeah. So, and I work with some brands, not a lot, but I work with some brands, and it's because I like the brands, because I love the brands, and I never did anything with brands because of the money. Because when you want to earn money from brands, you will be a poor influencer. I'm pretty sure about that.
People see right through it, I guess, and it's tough, especially if you do one thing. I mean, let's say focus on raw denim and all of that, and then let's say you suddenly would do something a lot about pre-washing. I mean, I did that recently when we did the sorty thing, and it can be a little tricky because if people follow you for that other thing and then they see that, it's like, what is going on? So I think, you know, it's something that you obviously need to be careful with.
True, but I also went to the Nazda factory of Sorti in Istanbul. And of course it was about washing jeans, and it's far from wearing raw denim, but still it was very inspiring. And I think it's also very important, because raw denim is not even 1% of the denim market. So yeah, we cannot ignore the rest. Plus there are a lot of changes now in the industry, like sustainability, technology, which is very interesting for me. So it's still being me when I post stuff like that.
Exactly. Well, well said. I feel the same way. So,
it felt like a risk when I went there. Like, how will people react to it? Because some people might think.
Was there a backlash? Was there negative reactions?
I think I received like 5 or 10 messages saying, why are you posting stuff like this? So I explained just like I did to you just now. And I think they understand. And if not, it's me. Well, so,
Exactly. But let's talk a bit more about the whole business side of Robin Denim. I just have one more question about, you know, your denim passion or style, let's put it like that, because the last question here is, what do you never leave home without? And don't say your phone.
I was about to say my phone.
So we're talking about what is like what you could call everyday carry, you know, something you always have in your pocket or something you always have in your bag, whatever you bring with you.
I always wear a card holder, a leather card holder. I have several, but I'm pretty loyal to one jeans, to one pair of shoes, to one card holder. So I start wearing a new card holder, and I start wearing it until it falls down, and then I need to start wearing another one. But I cannot leave my home without the card holder.
So I mean, and this holds your credit cards and everything else.
Yeah,
and. Have you posted about it? I mean, I'm curious what it is, what it looks like.
No, it's not super special, and I never posted it.
Well,
I don't even know the brand, actually. It's just the simplest card holder you can get.
Right. Interesting. Well, so let's get to the main topic, Instagram and influencing. So we already talked a bit about how you got started. You got into denim around 10 years ago, then after 3-4 years. So you've been going for 6-7 years on Instagram, something like that.
6 years now, yeah. Six I started years. In 2014.
Right.
Early 2014, so 6 years.
And I mean, like you already explained, you were basically having some spare time at your job and all your friends were on Instagram already, or many of them, and you were interested in denim, so you got on there. But I mean, tell me a bit more. I mean, did you, so you started it, and was it called Robin Denim from the beginning?
No, it was called differently, but I can't remember what, because it was a shitty name. And I remember that changing my name to Robin Denim was a long process, and I was thinking about the good name, because back then you had Raw Denim, and I was thinking for a name like that, and I was thinking, and then I went to the friend who also convinced me to buy a pair of jeans, And he said, you should do Robin denim. And I was like, yeah, are you crazy? Why Robin denim? And he said, when you choose Robin denim, I will design your logo now. So I said,
so that's the logo you still have?
Yeah.
The Robin, the little bird.
Yeah, because I trusted him. He's a good designer. He's working for major movie makers, like movie companies. So I said, yeah, sure, do Robin denim. And 1 minute later, he had the logo. So I said, yeah, we'll go from here.
Nice. Well, yeah, it also, I mean, I do like it that, I mean, it's clever because it's your name. So it's, I mean, you are Robin denim. I mean, it's
that's also the weird thing about it. Having Robin denim. Yeah. It's cool. It's nice. And I'm glad he convinced me. But at the start, I was like, yeah, I should have something like raw in it. But Robin denim is...
No, it's cool. It's good. And see, I mean, now the raw denim is called Heddles anyway. So, you might have ended up having to change too. But so you started on Instagram, and what were you doing? Did you, I mean, because now you do, and we're going to talk a bit more about that, but you have some amazing pictures on your feed these days. But what did it look like in the beginning?
I did in the beginning, because... now there's a really big and strong community out there on Instagram, but when I started, it was still it was less a community. So there were people posting photos of their jeans, but there wasn't something like connecting them together. So what I was doing, I was collecting the best fates of people, and I started to talk with them, I started to relate with them, and I started to repost their pictures. So to put attention on their well-worn jeans. That was what I saw, what I did.
So did they send you the pictures, or were you able to download that, or did you use an app? How did you do it back then?
I just, in the beginning, I just made a print screen on my phone and did like the crop, and I posted that.
Nice.
That was the start. Oh, and later, when it started to grow, people started to send me photos. So in the beginning, via direct messages, but the quality is not that good. So later they started to email them. Mm-hmm. But I still have the Robin denim fates account, and I still do the print screen and cropping thing, because that's
really
how it started. Yeah I don't use an app or something.
And it's then 2-3 years ago that you set up that other account, and or how long is that?
I think 2 or 3 years ago,
something like that.
Yeah.
Because why did you do that? Why did you split it up?
Because when I wanted to make a business out of it, it was important that people knew me as well. So back then I met Koen and Hans for the very first time in real life. We chatted through Instagram, but we met each other at, I think, the Denim Days. And we started to talk, and they were interesting in taking photos of me. So I thought, it was in my head for a while, but I cannot take good photos, especially not for myself. So when they say, yes, we want to take photos of you, I was convinced that it was the right timing to start creating my own content.
Clever. And so the way, I mean, you told me before as well, the way you do it is you will have like photo sessions now where you pictures for your feed. What's that like?
Well, it's just hanging out with a friend. So last Friday I went to Hans, hometown, which is Leeuwarden. It's in the north. And we were supposed to do the photo shoot on Sunday, but it was another storm. It's storming every Sunday these days. So we did it on Friday. And it's just hanging out in the city center, grabbing a coffee at a nice place, and then walking around looking for nice spots. And he will take some photos. I go to the bathroom of the coffee toko, and I will change my outfit or do it on the streets. It's kind of... It's like
so
that.
You do it every week or how often?
No, I think I do it every month.
And all right.
It's because Hans is living really far away and Koen is living like an hour away, which for Holland, it's far away. So I'm collecting stuff, and when it's time, we do a photo shoot together.
Right. But what is the purpose of it? I mean, because what it's photos of you. Is it, and you post those, so is it because of the clothing you wear so you can showcase those brands, or why do you do it this way?
My Instagram is actually it's all about the garments. It's not about me, and that's it has been like that from the start. So in the beginning I only posted the garment. Later I also post I also posted myself, because it was important to sell myself when I want to make a business out of it. But it's still all about the garments. So that's what I also mentioned before. I don't work with brands for money. So I work with brands because I like the garments. I work with brands because I like the guys behind the brands. And that's also the purpose for Instagram, that I can showcase what they made.
Okay, so we've been, you know, touching a bit upon it now, but working, you talk about you, this is your work now. Is doing Robin Denim the only thing you do?
And I'm working as a freelancer for Blueprint, Blueprint Amsterdam.
So how do you make money? What do you do? Tell me, I mean, I'm curious, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners are curious about how it actually works, because what is it? I mean, would you get paid to do the Instagram? But it's also, I mean, that's not the only thing, I'm sure. You also do other stuff.
Yeah, well, if I was a real influencer, I was earning my money with posting photos. So I did projects like that. It worked like I'm sitting in my home. I receive an email from a large, large brand, and they say, I will pay you 800 euros if you post one photo. So I did several of those projects, and I said, yeah, sure. So I went to a party, been there 5 minutes because it's not a nice party. Someone takes a photo, I post it online, I drop it on my feed, and I can go home, and I earn 800 euros in 5 minutes. So that's the real influencer life. But I'm always trying to keep my distance from it, because I don't believe it's real. And no. What I always wanted to do is keeping my Instagram and my website real. So I earn some money with Instagram, but Instagram is more a business card for me.
Right. So what is it then you can offer companies?
Over the years, so I started Robin Denim alone. So when you scroll down in my website and check the first articles, I did it yesterday, you think like, oh wow, this guy is it's not super good actually. So what I did, and that's because I really believe in it, is forming a strong team. I believe in working together, and I think that's my strength. I never do things alone. So I started to work together with, in my opinion, the best photographers in the denim scene. And I started to wear with a native English editor, because my English is far from perfect. So I gathered a team in order to create high quality content in terms of photos and text.
But I mean, you sort of said it already, the Instagram, and then also your website, the content, because you I mean, we didn't talk about that yet, but you launched the website 5 years ago. It's been around for some 4 or 5 years, something.
Yeah, I think it's almost at the same moment I changed my Instagram.
So that's essentially a blog, right? You post content there that is stories, that is related to what you will see on your feed as well. But yeah. I mean, this is not what's actually your business. I mean, posting that content, right? I mean, this is, I guess, mostly marketing for you to show what you can do. So I guess, again, the question, what is it you do then? I mean,
I'm circling around it. Well, but
yeah.
I think I got the question many times, like, what are you actually doing? And it's hard to explain, because I think what I actually do is I'm doing projects on a marketing project. So you can call it consultant or marketer, I don't know. But a big company approached me and asked, we have this new fabric or we have this new garment. How can we put this in the market? So I'm looking at it from a influencer perspective. Not sure if it's mm-hmm. a word, but so it's sometimes I just take some photos of it. I don't take the photos, but Koen or Hans takes the photos of it. Or sometimes I gather a group of influencers and together we do the project and we post photos on the story on the feed. So also my real work, I work together with people. I'm building the bridges actually.
Right.
So I go to trade shows, create content, put it on my feed, put it on their feed. But it's not me who's taking the photos, but it's me who arranging everything.
So it's all about storytelling, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's helping companies tell stories and you then bring your perspective and your team to help deliver content through the feeds of these companies then.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So... And can you mention some of the companies you do this for? Or I mean,
yeah, I worked a lot together with Sorti last year. Also this mm-hmm. year, we are working on a really, really cool project, but I cannot tell you anything about it yet, I guess.
I have actually heard about it. Okay. But I mean, obviously we'll keep it a secret for now.
Thank you.
But when is... Is the project is going to be later this year in 2020? It's going to be revealed?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's okay. Really, really exciting. I think it's... I did really cool projects with them last year. So we went to the factory in Turkey and we did a few like workshops in Holland for influencers. But this one will be the top, the best so far.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting,
because so and also and, with, and
yeah, I mean because so Sorti is obviously a mill and or they mm-hmm. they can make actually everything right the fabric, the whole jean, but like we already talked a bit about, they're more I guess commercial in a sense. I mean mm-hmm. it's not raw denim that True, they yeah. focus on, and do you have other companies like this that you work with? I mean,
you mean for raw denim?
No, I mean other of your clients. I'm basically just trying to get you mm-hmm. to reveal the whole secret. No,
well, it's not a secret. I did a project with Isco Denim, also a really large mill. I went to Japan. That was really awesome for an exhibition in Osaka. It was in October last year, if I remember mm-hmm. right. It was, it had everything. So it was Japan. It was my first time in Japan. It was a really, really interesting exhibition combining the denim fabric with sounds. It was a typhoon. So yeah, it was an incredible experience with together with Koen.
Nice.
Yeah,
that must have been. I would have loved to go on that trip. It looked pretty awesome.
It really was. Yeah, it was. Nice. It was really cool. So yeah, there are two mills, and I also work with some trade shows. I recently went to Blue Zone. It was also mm-hmm. my first time, and it was also really inspiring. Really inspiring to be there and to see what's it all about in the denim scene these days, because it's changing. Mm-hmm. It needs to change. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about, just curious now, do you work with any retailers as well?
Yeah, or but that's it's project not, based. So
Okay.
Sometimes for a party, a release, a special thing, they approach me and we do small projects, but not like frequently.
Right. So let's talk a bit about some of the things you've learned over the years doing Robin Denim, and this is basically gonna be, I mean, so I guess some if potential customers for you were listening, they could maybe just go out and use these tips and tricks, or mm-hmm. they could maybe call you up later and hire you. But it's also, I guess, for the, because most of our listeners, I'm sure they are enthusiasts. They might not work in denim, or they might not want to. Or so let's talk about some of the sort of tips and tricks to get the most out of your Instagram.
My number one tip would be start earlier, because when you start on Instagram now, it's a hell of a job to get a lot of followers, exposure, things like that.
So if you are starting, if you want to become an influencer and you start now, maybe look for another platform. But yeah. I mean, let's just say that you don't care about the followers. You just want to share what you like with other like-minded people. Let's talk about the photos. How do you take a good photo of denim for Instagram?
Well, I need to call Hans or Koen when you want to know what's a good photo for Instagram. But no, I think it's, for me, when I think a photo is good is when it's about the garment. So I'm standing in the middle of the photo. The background of the photo is clean, like gray or, it's clean. Yeah. So when you look at the photo, the first thing you see is the outfit.
Right.
And okay. I think for me, that's a strong strong photo. But of course, when you post fakes, then you have a strong photo as well. And I think it doesn't matter how you post it, because having fakes on Instagram is always like...
it's porn.
Yeah.
It's like, you
fate
know...
porn, yeah.
It is. It's crazy. I mean, so when you when you post pictures of people, it's like dead. You know, sometimes nothing.
Yeah.
And then there's a fade pic, and it's like, woo!
Yeah, people are calling each other. You have to look at the photo because he's posting face. Yeah,
Instagram is going down. Robin posted a face pic. Like, what? Well, okay. So focus on the garment and what you say, clean background. And I guess that also sort of then, you know, focusing on the garment is, of course, then maybe making the background a little blurred. I think you your photographers will often do that. So
yeah. But and you also have other. I think what's most important for Instagram is stay true to yourself. So if just post what you like, what you think is cool, because when everybody is copying each other, it's boring. So some people I follow are posting the opposite of what I do. So Oppie Denim, for example, is a good friend of mine. He actually started on Instagram when we're having a beer in a bar in Belgrade 2 years ago, and he is posting like really heavy backgrounds with a lot of stuff, a lot of bricks, green, and it's also working. So I think it's important to just do what you love most.
So let's say you're a listener now is a company, is representing a company. How can businesses apply this, you think, you know, staying true to yourself?
It's also, I think it works the same for brands, because every brand has its own identity. So you have brand A, it's very heritage. So if I'm thinking of heritage, I would post like more red, more rust, more the real man stuff, like motorcycles, things like that. But when you compare it to brand B, which is a Scandinavian super clean denim brand, I should go for more gray, like I do. So also for brands, it's stay true to your identity and find a style and a way which works best.
Right. Interesting. So okay, and what about, is there certain times of the day, of the week? What about the thing with comments, hashtags? Can you share some insights about that?
Yeah, it used to be very important on what time you posted a photo, like a few years ago. So I had alarms when I should post a photo. So I had the 1 o'clock in the afternoon was a good time, because in between 1 and 4, it was very busy on Instagram. So, but if I missed the 1 o'clock, I also had the 11 at night, because then Asia was waking up. So those two times were really important to post. But today it's not so super important anymore, because Instagram is doing its own algorithm magic. So if I'm posting a photo now, some followers will see it in 2 days. So it's less important when you post it.
Right.
Which is what kind of frustrating, but
what about hashtags then?
I'm not really sure how important hashtags are. I'm using always the max, so 30 hashtags, and all hashtags are related to my photo, the garments I'm wearing, to selvage, raw denim, Japanese denim. But some of my friends are not using hashtags, and they say it's not a big change. But back in the days, hashtags were the only way to be seen on Instagram.
And I think that was also before you could actually, because for a couple of years, year and a half or something, you've been able to like follow a hashtag. But that's something they introduced. Yeah. And before that, I think it was maybe even more important for some reason. At least that's also what I can see. But
yeah, true. Yeah.
Then what about this first comment thing? Is that still relevant?
The first comment thing?
You know that you would set a first comment. You would have the hashtags in the comments. Yeah. I mean, I've now been doing that for a long time, but I don't know.
I don't think it's... You mean that you post the hashtags in the comment?
Exactly. You did that at some point, right? That you would have the first comment would be all your hashtags.
I did it because when you see the caption of the photo, you don't see the hashtags, and the hashtags looks ugly. So that's why I did it, but I don't think it's it has an influence on the photo, on the exposure and the amount of likes.
Interesting. Okay. So let's see. I think we pretty much covered a lot of ground here. And we are sort of getting to the end, at least of what I have for questions. So so let's see.
What about you? Can I ask questions as well?
That's something new, but okay, let's give it a go.
So I just shared how I see Instagram, how I saw it changing over the years. How do you see it? Mm-hmm. Because you are using Instagram as much as I do, probably. You also see it changing. What's your opinion about that?
Well, that is... that's something I should have asked you, how much you're on Instagram now, but we can get back to that. I just took a break from Instagram over November, December 2019, where it was like I posted only once a week, and that was probably kind of stupid, because, you know, then of course everything slowed down a lot for me. So speaking from that experience, I think it's still, you know, if you want to stay on top, you have to be active daily still. Of course, you know, follower growth has slowed down, I think, for everyone. It did for you too. See it. I mean, you cannot get those crazy spikes that we had in two years ago also. I mean, there was you, there was Clubbercom, accounts like that were just exploding, right?
With
hundreds and hundreds of new followers monthly, thousands of followers on a monthly basis, right? For me, it's like at my spikes, it was like a couple hundreds a week. Now it's half of that, something like, and interaction is of course also, it's changed too. I'm speaking from personal experience here, but I think going back to what you said, it's also important that you stay true to who you are, and in a way staying true to your followers and why they follow you. So I think a lot of my followers, And some of them, of course, might be bots. I'm not. I haven't done any deletion of followers, but you know, when you look at it, as a lot of them are from actually a lot of them from Indonesia, from Thailand, mm-hmm. And I know those guys, they and girls, they will follow for the fades, for the heavy denim. I had my, you know, last autumn I was posting so much Ironheart all the time, and a lot of followers. We're following for that, I guess. Mm-hmm. So whenever it's not Fates or Ironheart at the moment, it's like, yeah, crickets sometimes on mm-hmm, my feed. Yeah. So, you know, and I think that's just an example of, you know, staying true to yourself, but also to your feed in a way, your profile. And if, you know, talking about, and that's something we could talk about for you too, the future, I'm not sure. I mean, Instagram is obviously, it's not going away. I think that's for sure. Even with changes in exposure you can get with ads, every 5 posts or something, when you scroll, it's like an ad. Yeah. But I guess a lot of people just learn to ignore it, say, okay, it's part of it now. And it's Facebook, so they're going to make some money from it for sure. Yeah. You know, nothing to do about that. So you just got to live with it. I think that what's important is what you also did early, you know, build your own platform, something that you control. So you don't just rely on Instagram. So you don't build your castle on rented land, basically. Mm-hmm. Because you've... Yeah, you see that when you just base your whole online presence on one or several platforms, it doesn't matter. But if it's something you don't own, then you can be in, you know, big shit. If you know, when they change the algorithm, when you know, then suddenly your business might disappear. And a mutual friend of ours, Rudy, I've told him so many times, he needs to get that website up and going. You know, it's people, just as an example, right? Because it's dangerous what he's doing. Of course, he's Rudy, so, well,
people are going to find a way. But,
but, you know, I think if you can't and if you want to turn this into, you know, if you want to be safe, at least if you do it for business. In the end, yeah, I mean, we all do it for because we love it. I mean, either of us, none of us would be doing this if we didn't, you know, enjoy it. Then you could just go and find an office job or whatever. But if you have any, you know, desire to do any kind of business from it, think about getting your own platform. I think that's important.
I think you're right. Yeah, that was exactly the reason why I started the website. In the first place.
Nice.
I don't want to.
So, no. Then last thing then, let's talk about the future for Robin Denim. What are your plans?
My plans, for Instagram, I don't know.
Bring out the business plan. You have the big,
I can send you a copy if you want. Well, no. For Instagram, I will continue like I do now. So I will start working together or working in a certain way, but I will continue to post photos of brands I really like. And I will continue to work together with Koen and Hans for the feed. And it's business, but it's also combining work with a hobby, actually, because...
Yeah.
The photo shoots are super nice, and I like to wear nice clothes from good brands. So that's what the photo shoots and Instagram is about. Mm-hmm. But the other part, like earning money part, I don't know, because doing projects for brands and companies is actually just started a year ago or maybe two. So I need to... continue to do that, improving myself, improving the content, improving relations, improving my network. So yeah. I think for the next 1, 2, 3 years, I will just keep doing what I do and keep improving the things I deliver, and we'll see from there.
But you also, I mean, so, and we didn't cover that, but you also live pretty carefree life, I guess, because you don't have a family yet. I mean, you're just...
True. I have a cat.
No, you have a cat. And,
and I just take that very serious.
Well, that is your little family, but I mean, yeah, no kids, no wife, no nothing yet. So, so enjoy it, is just what I would say. Doing before it comes. But could you ever see yourself, I mean, would you ever go and work for one company, like be, or would you just, is, do you want to stay freelance?
I used to work for one company for a couple of years, but I'm not really the guy who can work for one company 40 hours a week sitting at one desk. Things need to move, and I need to move, and I need to have adventures and new things. So I think being a freelancer is saves my life, actually, because when I'm sitting at a desk for 40 hours, I'm starting to get very bored. And that's not good for me, and also not good for the colleagues I'm working with. So I will continue as a freelancer for as long as possible.
Great. And I think that's a perfect way to end it. So if people are not following you by now, where should they go?
A good start would be at Robin Denham on Instagram.
At Robin Denham. And the website?
That's robindenham.com. It's super easy.
It's super easy. And if people want to get in touch, you can do that through the website. I'm sure you get like a billion emails or DMs on Instagram daily, so maybe email is better, I guess. I don't know.
Email is better, I guess, because I'm not really good in answering direct messages. Sorry for that, guys, but it's because
it's the same. I mean, listeners, he doesn't answer my messages too, so I mean, it's everyone.
It's not personal. And I really like Thomas, so it's not personal when I'm not replying to a message.
So let's just, Robin, agree now. If people want to do business, at least, then send you an email. And the email is it info at Robin Denham? Info at Robin Denham?
Info at Robin Denham.
So your mail server is going to go down now because people just want to do work.
I'm waiting. I will quit everything which was on my schedule, and I'm waiting for the email.
Nice. Well, Robin, this has been a pleasure, as always, talking to you.
Likewise. And, really
now you have a reason to actually go start listening to a podcast. So,
Does having this podcast count as listening to one?
I'm going to say, I mean, yeah, well, it's up to you. I mean,
okay, well, then from now I can say I listen to a podcast.
Nice. Well, again, it's been a pleasure, and thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. And
thank you, Thomas, for the opportunity. And like the one we did a video like 2 years ago, I guess, and you approached me, and I thought, oh shit, yeah, sure, why not? And when you approached me for the podcast, I had the same reaction, but same as the video, it was a really cool.
It's pretty. It's okay, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. But it's cool.
I get the same. I know. I also sometimes I can be. I was a little nervous in the morning when we did this. It's always a little like, what's gonna happen? So, but yeah, I think it's fun. And
You said awesome. It will be for an hour, and I was like, an hour, but we did an hour, and it's easy.
It's flying by. So, yeah. A lot of blah, blah. But anyway, everyone out there listening, I hope you enjoyed this, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Cool. Thank you, Thomas.
I hope you enjoyed the interview with Robin. His story is quite interesting about how he got into denim around 10 years ago, then started on Instagram basically when he had some spare time at his work at the time, and then built a following that is quite impressive. Even though Of course, his follower growth has slowed down over the past few years, like we talked about, but that has happened to anyone, I guess. Now, what I'm most excited about of all this is how he's able to actually convert his passion and his Instagram into a business that he's now making a full-time living doing, although he's quite modest about it. But this is what he's doing now. So he's branching out as a consultant, helping companies tell stories, specializing in Instagram, of course. And I think that's super exciting. And to be honest, I'm a little envious of the guy, of course. So I'm really excited to see where he's going next. And if you don't already follow him, go to @RobinDenham on Instagram, and his website is just robindenham.com. So that was it for this one. We'll catch you in the next one.